cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Obviously, Shanny hiring at the upper tier of management, it obviously has a new voice, a new say, and he determines it's the right way to go, so that's why they hired her.
Welcome, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras with you. Of course, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, our extended show every Saturday. It's been that way every Saturday as we counted down to the anticipated playoff action for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's taking a severe 180, like we say, to say the least, over the last number of weeks. But we continue, of course. Playoff action will continue. And who Randy Carlyle was talking about there, of course, Brendan Shanahan. And it's interesting, Rick Natras, as we, a lot of ways we can lead into this game tonight. First of all, you know, talk about a game that it was anticipated could have been a playoff preview with two teams going to the playoffs, could have mattered for one or the other team, with the other fan base relishing the opportunity to eliminate either the Senators or Leafs from it. Instead, it's a meaningless nothing game for Brendan Shanahan. What was it, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, was basically off the radar, starting to come on the radar a little bit on the Toronto Maple Leaf scene. And now he is the face of the Toronto Maple Leafs for the average fan out there.
Yeah, and it's, again, and it's funny that because of the timing in regards to Trevor Linden in Vancouver, I think the two of them are a little different. There is some similarities there, but, you know, Trevor is a guy that was there to put a nice face, a loving face on a franchise that is losing money through ticket season base and through sponsorships. So we know that's not the fact here. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I mean, do the Leafs struggle? I'm sure there's a lineup, Gord. You know this about, you know, sponsorships, season tickets. I mean, it's, you know, certainly the tickets are left in will. So it's not like that. There's that kind of issue. But there is the, you know, you bring in a Stanley Cup champion coach, and you think that's going to be something that the players can feed off of and take, you know, something from. You know, a Norris Trophy winner, a guy that played a long time in the National Hockey League. Played it, you know, a certain style. We all felt that that was the style the Leafs had to implement to have success long term. Never seemed to take off. We still saw the run and gun, the fast team, if you will. And again, we saw the end result. That's, again, the plus minus goals, four goals against, was still, you know, one of the worst.
But it, just in talking about this hiring, which even adds more to it, we talk about dissecting the season. So the average fan is saying, okay, great, Joe Sakic's worked out great in Colorado. Joe Sakic, though, has Greg Sherman under him, but Joe Sakic is hockey operations. Cam Neely, you watch him in a game, you know.
Oh, he's involved.
Holy mackerel. Peter Chiarelli was Peter Chiarelli was going to get slapped silly the last couple of years in the playoffs, just Cam Neely smoking as he came down the elevator. He was so close to being fired time after time, so he had to go win a Stanley Cup to get
Julian
himself out
as
of
well,
it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, both of them were.
Exactly.
And Cam could have took both of them on at the same time. That's the thing, and it's funny that, you know, it's been going around that, you know, Cam separates himself only with the business side. BS. I mean, this guy is so intense. Last year, Gord, I mean, they were here in Boston. He was here. He was down in the dress room. You know, all that kind of stuff being in Boston when it was, you know, a nothing game, really, in regards to any significance other than a regular season game. And, you know, he's intense with that. So don't tell me he doesn't have his hands on it. And I'm sure Shanahan's going to have the same type of fact. And again, I like Nonis being here. Is he going to be here long? I don't know. He's got the 5-year deal that was extended for, you know, only having three left. And then Lewicki came in and gave him the five. And then you've got a guy that I think, you know, has been preaching patience. But again, I guess that patience with some of the younger guys is a great way to look at it. But filling those, you know, that 7-12 slot in the forwards and the back end, maybe three or four different guys.
Okay. All those things, though. But riddle me this.
Yeah.
What's the saying? If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it really fall?
Yeah.
Or something thereabouts.
Yeah, unless you trip over it, you don't know about it.
If Brendan Shanahan is brought in a job that isn't exclusively hockey operations, and Dave Nonis is still there, and yada, 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 in charge of hockey operations, have they changed one damn bit for the average fan out there?
Well, I think not. I think, again, it's perceived that he, because he won three championships and he was the type of player that over 2,000 minutes, 600 goals, you know, that's the style that everybody wants Toronto to play. Well, is that going to resonate into the players? The personnel, again, Gord, is not where they need it to. They've got some good pieces, but the personnel. So, again, Shanahan's a voice. Is he the ultimate voice? I guess you can say he will be. But I think, you know, again, that there's knowledge in this organization, but the disconnect between the players and the coaches, not just Randy Carlyle, but the coach before him, Ron Wilson, the coach before him, Paul Maurice, it's the same thing. You know, the record. In the old days, we used to say when practice were going too long or the drill was too long, Gord, turn the album over or at least take it off and throw it away.
Okay, so we saw Ken Dryden come here years ago. Ken Dryden did hire Mike Smith, who probably the biggest move that came was via Mike Smith and bringing in Pat Quinn. Because Pat Quinn had much more of an imprint on the organization, the hockey part certainly, than Ken Dryden did. So in this case, as I said, I certainly have no problems with Brendan Shanahan. Any which way. Again, we'll find out. There's a press conference on Monday about that. So we will find out a little bit more exactly. But you got to think that he's going to be, you got to hope. At least say you're going to throw us a bone and say you're going to be involved in hockey somehow. Well, throw us that bone. Don't say you don't need to sell suites here. You don't need to sell tickets here. You don't need to kiss the butts of partners. You just need to win and get points.
Well, I think, you know, what most fans are looking for is an honest opinion. We've all seen what happened. And we've seen it on numerous occasions over the last few years. And again, you don't want Shanahan being the total spokes guy there on Monday and saying, yeah, we're going to change things, because we heard that. We heard that when Brian Burke was brought in, he was the guy that was going to toughen everybody up. We heard all his key words, truculence.
Well, truculence, but he kept the same coach, Ron Wilson.
But I'm just saying, but he was that same, you know, here comes the savior. I look at the talent that they have and the willingness to play a certain way with their key guys, and it's not there yet. Are they young? Yes. But do they need guys around them that play that style and lead in that regards, rather than lead by having a great quote at the end of the game?
Well, let's get to it about the hockey team. Like I say, Gord Stellick, Rick Natras, Leafs Nation postgame. We'll be, of course, following tonight's game, the Leafs, the Ottawa Senators. We thought we would be previewing at least the Leafs and maybe the Senators in Stanley Cup playoff action, but on Leafs Nation pregame, we're talking about, instead of O Canada, it's No Canada, as, boy, the Montreal Canadiens, the only team. A tough year for Canadian-based NHL teams.
And they're staying in Canada because they, you know, got turned down independence, right?
Apparently, yes. Okay. Well, John Garrett,
that's a good thing for us.
John Garrett will be joining us later on to talk about the Vancouver Canucks, and he'll be relishing the opportunity to fire some salvos back the Toronto way after he's been taking the hits pretty good in Vancouver. And Eddie Olchuk will join us. He is part of the broadcast, of course, be a while now. Philadelphia leading Pittsburgh 2-1 in the game that's on TV right now. He's doing the color. He'll join us later on with that. And, of course, earlier today, the Boston Bruins, the number one seed. They beat the Buffalo Sabres 4-1.
Yeah, and great. Bergeron gets his 30th goal. I mean, that's just, you know, there's a quote out there by Claude Julien about, how he feels about Patrice Bergeron in regards to, you know, scoring 30 goals, but how responsible he is. If he's not the top plus minus, I think he's in the top three. I mean, him and Krejci are certainly two of your top centers, Gord. You wonder why they've had success. Well, your two top centers are in the top plus minus in the National Hockey League, and both of them are extremely responsible defensively.
Well, that's the one game final. Again, the other game going on, 9 games in total tonight, and we talk about meaningless games, which is Toronto at Ottawa. Unfortunately, all Canadian matchup. Same goes with the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Our friend John Garrett joining us from Sportsnet in Vancouver. And, John, we're just talking about Vancouver exclusively. We don't need any Toronto opinions, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I was going to say, it's new for the Vancouver fans. Okay, well, all I was going to say, it's new for the Vancouver fans.
Well, okay.
I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean by that?
Hey, if everybody at home Googles a term petty right now, there's John Garrett's face. The big news was in two different fronts, somewhat a little more tied in Vancouver because of Trevor Linden's history, and now in Toronto with Brendan Shanahan. So two Canadian teams out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Talk about the two hires, and probably it's a little clearer what Linden's mandate is in Vancouver and what you think the ideal niche would be for Shanahan, say, in Toronto.
I agree with you that it is a different situation for Trevor in Vancouver. With Trevor, he has been given the responsibility by the Aquilinis not just to hire a GM and then be a public figure. It's almost like a co-GM situation for Trevor. He's already said the number one decision is a GM, and then to worry about what's going to happen to John Tortorella. But he is going to be involved with the personnel and the hiring of the new coach and the drafting, and he is going to be involved really hands-on. And I don't know whether Brendan Shanahan will have the same sort of responsibilities in Toronto because Brendan Shanahan is inheriting a GM who is going to stay, whereas Trevor is going to hire his own guy.
And let me ask you, Cheech, and you know Trevor, and he's a class guy, you know, all the stuff that, you know, long year, second overall pick, I believe he was, yep. You know, spent, you know, his career there, you know, left the game, been successful away from the game. It's easy, you know, we've had a few savers all over the league, and it very rarely materializes, you know, short term. It's, you know, long term. Do you see him being there for the long haul and making this, you know, having an identity and building that identity into the Vancouver Canucks?
Oh, I do. I do. And, Rick, you know what it's like to be involved in the Players Association. Yeah. And how it is like running a business, and you do. And Trevor has amazing people skills. And you think about that ugly walkout in or lockout, whatever you want to call it, in 2004, when Trevor was the president of the NHLPA and the Bob Goodnow stuff. And Rick, you and I can relate to the rank and file. We weren't stars, and the majority of players who wanted to go back. And then there was a separation in the Players Association because some of the stars wanted to sit out another year because they didn't want the salary cap. And Trevor listened to the voice of the majority, and he was ridiculed a little bit for that. But I think that kind of experience that he had being the president of the Players Association, being on the competition committee, and knowing the number of players he knew while he was playing, and then the management types too. And he wasn't just in one organization for his entire career. He did go to Montreal and see how a real good franchise is run with the Montreal Canadiens. And then you go to the island and see the ineptitude of how the Islanders are run. And then so you learn. He's a quick study. His businesses are doing really well. I think he's going to do a fantastic job for the Canucks. And unlike Toronto, and here's another one, Gord, I know you didn't want to talk about the Leafs, but season ticket sales were due to be renewed last Wednesday, same day that they announced Trevor. So they extended the season tickets for at least a week and probably 2 weeks. And unlike Toronto, the Vancouver fans are win. They're used to winning now, and they were, the renewal rate was really down. The renewal rate for the Canucks has been 95% over the past 6 years, and now it was really down. So the Aquilinis, it's a smart business move to put in the forefront and the face of the franchise the most popular player that ever played for the Canucks.
John Garrett joining Gord Stellick, Rick Natras on Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And a couple of things about Trevor Linden. And, you know, one in 2004, I think, you know, for one, as they say, as Chuck Swirsky, our old basketball guy said, he showed some onions. And I thought he really did. He took a lot of crap from guys and that, but you know, he got it done. And ultimately, I think the average NHL player, even though it's a cap world, doesn't have a lot to complain about nowadays. And I give him full marks for that. And the other that is, and you know it being so close to Vancouver, is how synonymous he is with the Canucks. I mean, Mark Messier is a guy that was a big-time face in Edmonton, was a big-time face with the New York Rangers, but people forget he played in Vancouver, and he didn't come close. And it's not a knock against Mark, but as you know, he never came close to the kind of imprint they thought he would have compared to Trevor Linden.
No, and he and Mike Keenan, it's a sour taste, you know, and it's hard to say that about Mark Messier anywhere, but here in Vancouver, you mentioned Mark Messier, and it really is a sour taste, the time he was here and how Mike Keenan wanted him to be the captain, so they took the captaincy away from Trevor, and that wasn't a very smart play, and then running Trevor out of town, that wasn't a very smart play, and it really was a bad era, and then Mark saying that they'd had a good year when they missed the playoffs when he came in and he was supposed to do this and do that, and Mark was towards the end of his career, and it was one of those situations where the supporting cast wasn't very good either, so it was a tough situation all around, and as you say, Trevor, even though he was in some other organizations, him coming back, that was a big highlight for the fans when Trevor was back. And even in his last game, and I think the Canucks lost 8-1 or something in Trevor's last game to Calgary, here in Vancouver, everybody stayed and a standing ovation for Trevor for his last game. And I really do think he'll do well. He's and Gord, you know what? I'm sure you and Rick have interviewed Mike Gillis before.
Yeah, kind of.
That's it. Kind of. He just, I don't think he got that. And when you're winning, you can get away with not being familiar with the media and not being available.
Cheech, you can get away with that. You can get away with being a jerk. That's what you get away with at times.
When you're winning.
Yes.
And he and Trevor had their outs from the 2004 when Mike was still a player agent. And Trevor was never around in the last, in the Mike Gillis era. So even the Pavel Bure thing, Trevor didn't show up for that when Pavel's sweater was hung up. So now Trevor's back and Mike's out and... The atmosphere around the team is, and give Mike credit for, they had great success. They won the division five times, back-to-back President's Trophies, Stanley Cup finals, right to game seven. But the atmosphere around the team, it's more, much more relaxed, let's say, now that Trevor's come in, and it's only been 4 days.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about Trevor, and he was first to admit that Pat Quinn was a big influence on him. He called Pat the morning of the press conference to announce his employment. You guys, they're honoring Pat Quinn tomorrow, Sunday night, I believe. Where does he fall in? I know Pat's, you know, been away from the game a little bit in regards to, you know, doesn't go to a lot of games, the last I heard, in Vancouver. But do you see him coming on as an advisory type of situation, like they have Cliff Fletcher here, an older guy, been around a lot, you know, something like that?
I can see Trevor using Pat as a sounding board. He already has a couple of times already, and but I don't know whether they will give Pat an official title. They might, and Trevor talked about it today. He was on a radio show, and he was talking about, well, you know, it'll be somewhere in the future, and I'll talk to Pat and see. I don't know whether Pat would want to do that. And you know what it's like, Rick, when you go to, you're 18 years old and you go to your first NHL camp and the guy is bigger than life who is there and it's Pat Quinn and he treats the players so well and you learn the game from him. And Trevor's really appreciated Pat's influence both on and off the ice. And you think of all the different things that you see about players and over the years. And Trevor was never in the papers, the TMZ side of the papers. And a lot of it had to do with how he was brought up in Medicine Hat and, you know, salt of the earth and all that kind of stuff. But how his impressionable years as an 18-year-old and thrown right into the fire in Vancouver and how Pat helped him out and the people, Stan Smeal and the people who were here, helped Trevor early in his career.
Hey, Cheech, just got about 2 minutes, and I always appreciate you joining us, of course, but wondered about, okay, Leaf thing. We're going to try to figure out the Leaf picture over the next hour or so. In Vancouver, now that the dust has settled, both goaltenders are gone, whatever, the trades that have happened, the Sedins are still there. I mean, what would John Garrett, if he was asked for advice, do about looking ahead to next year after a year like the Canucks have had?
Well, I really think that the Ryan Kessler situation is something that Trevor's going to have to address. You have a player who asked to be traded at the deadline. One of the commodities that you could definitely get something for. And even though he has a no trade, and that's one of the things that people say, well, get rid of this guy, get rid of Alex Edler and Ryan Kessler and, you know, maybe Dan Hamhuis or Jason Garrison. Well, they all have no trades. There's 10 no trade clauses on the Vancouver Canucks. So you have to get the guy to agree. But I think the Ryan Kessler situation is something that the team is going to have to address. And it's something that you could get value back. And the Canuck fans don't want a rebuild. They haven't been gradually going down, down, down. It's like they fell off a cliff. And I think that's one of the things that the fans here in Vancouver, they want to see signs that, okay, the Sedins are back. This was just an aberration that they're getting half a point a game instead of a point a game. Alex Burrows couldn't score for 57 games, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was just a fluke. It was the system of the coach. But they have to do something. And I think Trevor, if he addresses the Ryan Kessler thing one way or the other, okay, he's back and Henrik's our number one center, Ryan Kessler's our number two, and maybe we'll look at Bo Horvat or whatever as your number three. But they have to address the situation, especially down the middle.
John, always appreciate it.
Thanks,
John. We'll be doing the radio show, and I know you'll be in for Sportsnet. I know last year, people don't realize that Game 7 with the Leafs-Boston, they called John Garrett, Sportsnet had for what? Where were they going to send you?
And I was going to go to the Memorial Cup.
Well, that's right, yeah.
And I would have much rather go to the Memorial. Nothing against you, Gord, but yes. I would have much rather go to the Memorial Cup than sit on a panel. And now I'm back doing panel duties. So you can meet me at Jack Astor's any night for a beer. I'll have my usual spot down on the corner there.
Okay, well, once I get over from that stinging backhanded compliment, I will try and do that. But so he was all packed when the Leafs had the 3-goal lead. And anyway at all, they call you, don't bother, John, just carry on. Hey, I'm sorry you got to hang with Gord.
Stay at Jack's. Yeah, stay at Jack's.
Yeah, okay, we'll see you
thanks,
soon.
Johnny.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
John Garrett.
Just before we break in, you know, the biggest issue in Vancouver is the development of their prospects or the lack of, and that's another issue.
Exactly, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, of course, Toronto way. We'll talk to Eddie Olchuk a little bit later on. He's still doing that Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game, 2-1 Philadelphia right now, halfway through the third period. And Glenn Chico Resch, a legendary broadcaster, is calling it a day. That'll be coming up on Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stelick, Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, of course, counting down to the puck drop. Not a big night for the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Ottawa Senators. We thought it could have been huge with game number 82. Blue Jay baseball will be on later on. We'll be back on later with Leafs Nation postgame. But on Saturdays, we always look around the National Hockey League. And two big names, goaltenders tomorrow. When you talk about the New Jersey Devils side, you've got Marty Brodeur getting the start for the Devils, and no surprise,
Chico's getting the end.
Glenn Chico Resch, he's getting the start and the finish, for what gives a great playing career. And what, Chico, 22 years now as a broadcaster with the Devils?
Yeah, long time, Gordy. But here's a bigger story.
Okay.
If the Devils go to another shootout, I'm putting the pads on. I'm going down to play goal for the Devils because I can't move. And I don't know if you saw the shootout last night. You know, a couple guys did stops and spinoramas, and Marty just kind of flew out of the net just because he didn't know what was going on. So tomorrow night, I'm going to do the shootout for the Devils because they're, 0-13?
Yeah.
So really the Devils, Chico, are kind of like the Leafs were a number of years ago in John Ferguson's era, where one season, lack of shootout and overtime success cost him a playoff spot. You can almost say the same 18. In a lot of ways about the Devils.
Well, you know, you can, right? But, I mean, we lack scoring in a lot of other areas, and it's sort of a symptom of the problem, although you're right. I if you had said to someone, hey, you know, I'll give me odds that the Devils will go 13 straight without a shootout win, it'd be pretty incredible. But goaltending just hasn't been lights out, and then nobody can score. Last night, again, Jágr made a great deep, put the goaltender against the far goalpost, had half the net, and the puck went off the end of his stick. So, well, you guys know, maybe it's psychological, but the truth is, and I don't know about you guys, but this is happening a lot in the NHL, and I'm not saying it's bad, but every team, even the Leafs, can pick to some area or something and say, you know what, if we had been better there, we would have been in the playoffs. But the truth is, I would say, I'd ask you guys, of the eight teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs, was anybody better than them? Devils weren't. Devils weren't better than Columbus or Detroit, and I don't think the Leafs were either. So, in the end, I mean, I think the right teams are in the playoffs.
Well, you know, Chico, and I agree. I just think, you know, coming from an era, not certainly as far back as you, but we played together, so I am getting up there. But I was just, you know, the three-point games are, you know, interesting, and you see sometimes there's a dominance when you get to the playoffs. Years past, now I think, you know, most teams are pretty even. But again, this from a guy that would never have, you know, would have sat there for 18 games watching, you know, OT losses or whatever, if I was a New Jersey Devil, because I wouldn't have got a shot, even if they got to go through the whole lineup. I'm pretty sure they would have forgot my name, Chico. But you know what I'm saying? That, to me, I understand for the fans, but being an old guy, old school guy like myself, do you really enjoy it? Like, I mean, I don't know. And that's, it takes the grind and the physicality and the endurance out of the game that, you know, for our generation anyways, made you winners or losers.
Well, you're right. I mean, we had a 4-on-4 last night because there was nothing at stake. You know, both teams were making a play that was wide open, up and down, fans just howling. Go to 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. But that shootout, and here's what happened. So they picked Josh Bailey, the Islanders do, and I'm thinking, Josh Bailey, he's got 8 goals. I don't know why they're picking him. Well, then he goes down, and he makes that move across the crease, comes to a stop, spins around, his forward momentum is stopped, and he backhands it up because Marty's assuming, you know, his momentum is going to carry him with Brodeur, but he stopped. And my point is, after the game, John Capuano said, well, you know why we did that? Because we lost a game earlier this year that we really needed. And Steve Stamkos did the same thing. He came down, stopped at the top of the crease, did a spinorama, and then went and shot the puck in the net. The rule, I thought, was you couldn't lose your forward momentum or the play was dead. But nobody really knows the rule. And to me, go 3-on-3. Well, you know, Rick, when we used to play 3-on-3 in practice, I mean, it was exciting, and it is actual hockey. So I don't know why they've taken so long to change that, but hopefully next year they will.
Glenn Chico-Resch joining Gord Stellick, Rick Natras on Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You talked about the goaltending, and I would think a guy like Corey Schneider saying, can I go somewhere where there's no controversy? I mean, I'm in Vancouver with Luongo. I'm here with Marty Brodeur. So when you said it didn't, you know, I guess on the ice is the deciding thing, but what do you think the plans are moving forward? What's the Corey Schneider reign been so far like in New Jersey?
Well, first of all, Corey Schneider is one of the most patient guys that I know. Even these last two games, like, he's been really good the last 5 games. I mean, really good. Like, his goals against is like 1.5 in his last 8 games or something. But he understands the situation. But Marty Brodeur, and I love Marty, but he can't come back next year. It's over. But for a couple of reasons, because, you know, Marty was saying, I don't play my best unless I play a lot of games. Like, this year he felt he didn't play enough, and I think he's going to end up in the 40s, like maybe 44 or 5. Well, so then, If he can't play well playing fewer games, then obviously he can't be a backup. And Corey Schneider has waited. He's in the prime of his career, as you guys know. This is his time to shine. I mean, this is his moment as a goaltender where he can play some of his best hockey. That's nothing against Marty Brodeur, but it will be too much of a distraction again next year. So, I mean, I would bet, would I bet my house on it? I'd bet my car on it. That's not worth quite as much. I bet my van that Marty Brodeur will not be back as a Devil next year. Now, that being said, saying that, could he go somewhere else to play if he wanted to a year? Absolutely, but I'm almost sure it won't be here in New Jersey.
Chico, that'd be hard to give that van away because you can't find Che carpet anymore to glue onto the wall. So I'd have to, you know, and that, you know, I don't think they have that, you know, the port window either. So it's a replacement. But, you know, just to elaborate a little bit on Marty, did you think he painted himself? And again, you know, he's been a huge factor of that. There's no questioning, you know, what he meant to the New Jersey Devils organization. But you look at some of the statements that he's made recently, and you mentioned one that he doesn't play well enough if he's not playing. But hasn't he really forced the hand and said, you know, in regards to not bringing him back? Like, I mean, that's, to me, sort of, you know, for, you know, the trade deadline, all that went on there, and then, you know, pretty much saying he wants to play, doesn't matter where it is. And, you know, that to me is, you know, it's sad, to be honest with you, a guy that played that long and for that one organization, which is such a rarity. And then that some of the statements that he sort of, you know, wasn't showing the door, was walking through the door on his own.
Well, you know, he did raise some eyebrows, and Rick, you and I were just on the cusp of being like iconic superstars.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You are a smart guy. I can't believe you're leaving the game, but
I think Rick was on a different cusp than you were on. Okay, put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. We were both on some sort of cusp.
That's right.
Figured that one out. But the thing is, he's an iconic player, and he's a legend.
Yeah.
Now, it's never easy when you get old to leave graciously. Now, remember this, guys. If you're a forward, or even you're Chris Chelios, you can limit the ice time to 8 minutes, 7 minutes, nine, whatever. Put them in situations where they're still going to be able to, you know, not embarrass themselves or not at least make some mistakes that could cost the team. But when you're a goalie, there is no hiding. I mean, you're out there every night. You guys know how competitive it is. So, I mean, for Marty Brodeur, his exit gracefully is the last thing that he has and that everyone wants. Now, I don't have a problem if he wants to try to go to Minnesota, if there's an opening there, you know, or some other team that might want to just help build some credibility within their fans or whatever. That's okay. But here in New Jersey, Marty's exit has not been what anyone expected. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like I was saying, because when you're that good and you've been the go-to guy, I just think it's hard to say, you know what, I'm not quite as good as, like, and there's no respect to Corey Schneider. Corey Schneider's not going to be probably a Hall of Famer. But for Marty to say, I'm not as good as Corey Schneider, not that he's putting Corey down, but you know what I mean? It's just hard to accept that. And I think everybody was shocked that Marty didn't just kind of bite the bullet and move on. This has kind of been going on since the trading deadline, where there was all the talk. And I got to tell you, Corey Schneider handled it so well. Remember, goalies sit together. He's hearing this talk to the media all the time. And I think even Lou Lamoriello was a little surprised that Martin expressed himself the way that he did. But that being said, guys, unless you're at that level, we don't know how hard it is to give it all up and say, I just can't do it anymore. And so I hope tomorrow is a great game. What I might have done, but I mean, it would have been a bit showy. I don't know what you guys thought. I would have said, Marty, you're going to play the first half, and then we're going to take you out the in the middle of the game, and the crowd can chant your name and you know, just have a great standing ovation. And we're passing the torch. Corey, you're our goalie, you know, for next year, and hopefully you'll sign and the year after. And you play, kind of play them both and sort of let that torch passing unfold. Plus, Marty gets, you know, the dues that he deserves. But like I say, I'm more of a Barnum and Bailey type of guy at this stage of the season. Let's do some pizzazz. Let's give the fans a little show. It's not necessarily always about hockey. In the last game of the season, when two teams like the Leafs and Ottawa are playing, I don't know what kind of show they're going to put on, but you just want to give the fans something memorable. And I thought that might be memorable if they did it that way, where they split the two goalies, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we're going to talk about Leafs Ottawa in a second with Don Brennan, but I just want to, it's not just Brodeur, but it's also Chico Resch, 22 years with the Devils. And, you know, Chico, you were one of the first guys I remember that Hockey Night in Canada used to hire for the playoffs. I mean, not many guys got to do that back in the 70s. And maybe just in the last minute, talk about how you got into broadcasting and how you made the decision that it's time.
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Regina, again, you know, I didn't start skating until I was 8. And so, you know, you kind of dream about the NHL, but there are only 6 teams. But I remember I had a tabletop hockey game, and I would play that, you know, and I was pretty good at it. You guys wouldn't have a chance, really. But I'm old school. But anyway, as I would do that, I would broadcast the games. You know, and of course, I was trying to imitate Foster. You and Danny Gallivan was there, and then the local Regina Pat broadcaster I thought was the best. So I always kind of liked that. I got that in my blood early on, and then when the career was over, I just thought, wow, that would be something that I think I'd like to pursue. And, you know, I got offered the job and turned it down the first year, and Dougie Sullivan took it. And luckily for me that he said, I can't do this. I got this Wall Street job. And I got a second shot at it, and I've been here since. But, you know, the great thing is that working with Doc Emmerich, who I think is the best ever in the business, and I'll hurry here, but Doc told me, Chico, like, you know, you're probably not going to be that good early on, but here's the one thing you can bring. You probably said this also to Rick, didn't you, Gordy? You let me finish, and then you could tell me. But Doc would say, look, you're not going to be that good. Just bring enthusiasm. If it's a dump in the corner, if it's a cross-ice pass, sell it like that was just an exceptional play. He said, because if the fans at home are watching and you're kind of monotone or you're real critical, they're going to say, what am I watching this game for? That guy, he's got in free. He's getting paid, and he doesn't even sound excited. They're going to move on to something else. So Doc told me that. And of course, you know, his standard was so high, and it still is. He's, I think, the best in the business. That besides all the other things, you know, breaking in and being Doc Emmerich's broadcast there, partner, would be like Rick breaking in and Bobby Orr's his partner on defense. So, you know, I was very fortunate, and it's been a great run.
Well, we certainly congratulate.
Yes.
I just tell Rick now he's still not that good.
Yeah,
but, you know,
he
that's
does,
where difference.
At
no,
least
I'm
to
kidding.
My face, Chico. At least to my face, which is a nice thing, right?
Hey, Chico, always appreciate. And hopefully
yes.
we can check in with you from time to time. But and
we'll
I know you'll enjoy retirement, but you'll always be active. So all the best tomorrow, okay,
and,
pal?
Yeah, real quick, just to Diane, your wife, good luck. I just tell her that Rick Dantra said good luck, okay? So.
Well, hey, thanks, you guys. I hope to do something part-time.
Good.
And I, you know, that's, as you know, that's part of the reason why our sister's so ill. But, you know, I hope to do something part-time, and so, you know, I'll hope, you know, that's all I know, right? I couldn't even cut deli meat if someone wanted to hire me, so I'm unemployable except for hockey, so I hope I can get something part-time.
Right. Okay, sounds great.
Great job. Thanks,
buddy. Take care, guys.
Chico Rest joining, of course, last game tomorrow with the New Jersey Devils. Meanwhile, it's the Leafs Ottawa Senators tonight. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras here on Leafs Nation pregame. Don Brennan joining us out Ottawa way, of course, with the Ottawa Sun. Don, thanks for hanging in there. Sorry, it was Chico's last game, so
yeah.
I wanted to fire one more question. But this was supposed to be a big, big game for both teams and maybe a big game for one team. And boy, I mean, Sella's on game number 82 in Ottawa tonight.
You should have got Chico to do that. Doc told him how to sell games or sell plays. I'm following in some great footsteps there, Chico Rash, one of the all-time good guys in the game, I think. It was a goalie coach in Ottawa. I don't know if you guys remember.
Oh, that's right.
Ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just a true gentleman. I know I'm getting off track. I'm trying to avoid the question, I guess. I don't think you can sell this one. I mean, I'm looking for things. There's some guys with the Senators. I wrote a column today about Matt Cassian, who would like to hang on, and he's a UFA on July 1st. He'd like to hang on and sign another deal and stay in Ottawa. He's coming off of a game they played the Islanders on Tuesday. I'm sure you've seen the highlights. Brett Gallant called up from the minors, clocked him, put him out, KO'd him. That's not maybe the lasting impression he wants to have from this season as he goes to the bargaining table. So I'm thinking Matt Cassian's going to dress, and he's going to, you know, look to make a mark somehow. I'm thinking Colton Orr's probably a good dance partner. Other than that, I you know, it's just one of those. It had all the makings when you looked ahead on the schedule at the start of the season. All the makings of being a great game and an important game, and it's just not.
Yeah, Don. Yeah, it isn't, and unfortunately, it isn't, because usually we see some heated. We had in the past, and maybe not so much near future. You seem that all the heat seems to be directed towards the Montreal Canadiens when you guys play them, one way or the other. But a lot of uncertainty in Ottawa. I mean, there is in Toronto, we've got the big poobah now in Shanahan, and, you know, it's not a bad thing, just not sure how that's going to spin itself out. But what's your take? Spezza, one more year left at 7 million. You know, had a fairly good season for a team that struggled to score. Anderson, the goaltending, you know, there was the controversy there. They've sort of evened out, and not in a good way. Later, and then, you know, what do you do with, the back end that's pretty well locked up and really is underachieved in my eyes?
Well, I think first and foremost, there's going to be something one way or the other, whether it's an announcement that the coach is staying on or that Paul McLean has been fired. So I expect something to happen quickly on that front early next week. And then you've got the immediate concerns. You've got the guys that are, you have to make a decision on Milan McCulloch and Alish Hemsky and, again, Cassian, three guys that are UFAs at the end of the season or in the summer. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, people talk about the offseason. Well, listen, as you guys know, there's no offseason in the NHL anymore. The offseason, the summertime is busier than the in-season, you know. So they've got to make a decision on Jason Spezza's entering his last year of his deal. Do you keep him or do you trade him? Same with Bobby Ryan, another guy, last year of his deal. Craig Anderson, last year of his deal. Mark Mathot, last year of his deal. And Clark MacArthur, the last year of his deal. Yeah, MacArthur's been the Senators' best player this year, if you ask me. Him and Kyle Turris consistently game in and game out. I expect something to be done with MacArthur's extended this summer. And you know, I think it's up in the air. I think that they're going to keep Bobby Ryan, I would think, because they gave up so much to get him. And Bobby Ryan, you know, a disappointing season, I guess, in that he only scored 23 goals. But he's playing with a hip problem or a hernia problem all year long, or since November. So you got to think that he's going to be a centerpiece of the team going forward. Jason Spezza, is this his last home game as an Ottawa center? It could be. I mean, I personally don't think it would be the right move, because if you do something with Jason Spezza, if you decide that you're going to trade him, I don't know how you're going to convince the other guys that are UFAs in 2015 that this isn't a rebuilding team, because you're not going to get an equal player back. You're going to get something less, or you're going to get parts and younger players back for Jason Spezza. I don't know how you convince a Bobby Ryan, a Craig Anderson, Mark Methot, and a MacArthur that this is not a rebuilding team.
I just want to ask you, for Maple Leaf fans, trying to identify David Bolin's injury to Erik Karlsson's. I know it wasn't identical, but comparable. And how would you talk about his rehab and his play compared to before the injury?
Because, you know, he bounced back quickly. I mean, he played the last three games of the season after suffering the injury on Valentine's Day or the day before. And, you know, he played in the playoffs. He wasn't himself. Last year when he came back, he wasn't anywhere close to top speed. I think this year he has been. I don't think he has any ill effects at all whatsoever from the injury. Now he's telling people now that he's finding himself getting tired and doesn't have the same zip or whatever. But I mean, the guy plays 28 minutes a night. He's all over the ice. I mean, it's understandable, even 100% healthy, that he'd be wearing down at this point a little bit, I think. But yeah, I don't think that there's, in terms of what he's been able to do on the ice, I don't think there's any after or ill effects at all.
Well, we will, again, tonight, yeah, like we said, we will cover it. We've got to make it compelling. We
just hands under the chin, elbows on the table. You should be fine. No neck injuries.
We will see what gives. Hey, Don, always appreciate
Thanks,
you joining
Don,
us.
Thanks, Don. Yes, thank you.
Have a good night, guys.
Take care, buddy.
Don Brennan with the Ottawa Sun, and it's true, as we get set, we'll come back, talk more about the game. Eddie Olczyk, that's quite a physical gangbuster they've had in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, two teams
and
that
Al Gill, a guy that you haven't seen in the lineup in the center of it. It's quite interesting.
He kind of got involved the third guy in here.
Yeah,
Al Gill.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's funny. He's a guy that he was nominated for the Masterson Trophy there, which is a dedication, because he hasn't been in the lineup and he's been healthy. So interesting in Pittsburgh.
Well, we will of course talk about that game. Anyway, it was Horacek started the fight, but he was going at it. So we will chat about that. We'll also count down, not just about the game tonight, but, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Brendan Shanahan era, and much more, as we'll return to more Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras, counting down to the puck drop between the Leafs and the Senators. Of course, covering out everything else going on around the National Hockey League as we head into the Stanley Cup playoffs, with or without the Toronto Maple Leafs. All on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation. Pre-game, Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Toronto Maple Leafs getting set to battle the Ottawa Senators. And as we mentioned, we're counting down to the puck drop of that game. We'll also have Blue Jay baseball later on tonight, and hoping there will be compelling games later in the season for the Toronto Blue Jays. Certainly was that way for the Maple Leafs. And Rick Natras, unfortunately, the compelling games came for the wrong reason for a while, as the Leafs were on the outside looking in, and now they're on the outside, just on the outside.
Really looking.
And a game tonight that had so many potential storylines. Start of the year, you thought, okay, what a perfect game anyway. Years ago, the Leafs and Senators played in the playoffs and met in the final game of the regular season. Leafs got killed by the Senators, but then won four straight when they put Shane Corson on Alexei Yashin.
And followed him around.
And then you thought, okay, maybe this will matter for one of these teams. Yeah. So, you know, and instead it's for none of them. And
it's disappointing, 6-0-7, right? We know, the bubble was Edmonton, I'm sure of. You know, the bubble was Winnipeg, but you didn't think Vancouver was going to, you know, you knew they would have a tougher time because they changed divisions, right? But again, Toronto coming in, everybody felt there was a learning curve, you know, even though, you know, the way they went out last year, the last 11 minutes against Boston, the learning curve was coming back in game five and game six to force game seven. But that learning curve, again, you know, standing still, not breathing, as Randy Carlyle says, when you're not breathing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that means you're not moving your feet. And unfortunately, we saw too many incidences of that this year, certainly in this stretch, more so the whole 81 games, Gord. But really, this last little stretch of they felt they were doing better things, but they weren't getting the results. And to me, that's the question in itself. Do we really understand what this team's about?
Well, of course, we'll talk about the first 81 games as well. But on Monday, it'll be game number 83. Yes. 11 a.m., the press conference. You'll hear live here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan also broadcast on Sportsnet, as there was a presser always. Tim Leiwicki had talked about meeting the media formally on Monday, which people said, that's kind of strange. Then you find out more and more because Brendan Shanahan's coming on the role as, well, top poobah, and we'll find out how much is hockey operations related, how much it isn't. But it is interesting. I know we did chat about it last hour, but the question du jour is, because people like answers. And yeah, a simple answer is like Ken Dryden coming in the 90s for a lot of people, until you get going and you realize the job is a little bit more tougher than an overnight fix. But Brendan Shanahan, now it's all fixed. Well, yeah, you know, fairly unfairly, Brendan Shanahan, who has had no association with the Toronto Maple Leafs, now is
whatsoever,
the face, yeah, of the Toronto Maple Leafs, yeah, instantaneously.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk Ken Dryden, you talk Shanahan, and you're hoping that, you know, and Ken Dryden I have a lot of admiration for because ex-Hab, you know, what he did in Montreal. But when he came here, it took him a week and a half to answer a question. You know, it was. And he was
Shanahan will give you a quicker sound.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. You know, if there's a difference between the two, it's like get to the point quicker. Again, this meeting, again, how they pull it off and who does majority of the speaking. I think, you know, a lot of people, it's great to chance. I'm going to show you my vision and all this kind of stuff. But really, people want to know what happened. You know, you could see what happened, but you want an explanation from somebody in charge, and that would be known as Randy Carlyle. And again, what they say really isn't varying from what you saw, but at least an honest answer, Gordon. I think that would be a good stepping stone in moving forward. The idea of bringing Shanahan in is a guy that's, sure, that style, 2,000 minutes plus, 600 goals plus, 3 Stanley Cups, 20 years plus. You know, knows the NHL, been working at it, you know, diligently for 3 years, revitalized the way you look at suspensions or how they're explained. But again, it's not a negative. He's a positive guy to have in your organization. But again, what can he bring that's going to make these guys want to block shots, go into the corner first, play on the inside, and go to those areas that you're going to get hurt in?
Yeah, and already one thing with Dave Nonis looks like he's staying on board.
Which is good. I like Dave.
Well, it's good, bad, or whatever. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it, but I just think that Tim Leiwicki committed to Dave Nonis, and Tim Leiwicki's had success with the basketball team so far, success with the soccer team so far, and he decided he had to put his imprint that, okay, Dave Nonis is really a Burke guy that Tim, yeah, Leiwicki supported with the contract, but he needed his face there. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying someone to connect with him. It might take the pressure off Dave Nonis if he doesn't have to deal with Tim Leiwicki and manage upwards. He can manage more downwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. But I guess the issues are still the same. You've got certain guys, a lot of guys that still are, you know, a lot of money. You've got unrestricted free agents that really, I mean, you could afford to lose, but who are you going to bring in? You've got a defensive core that needs to revitalize. You've got two guys that are locked in. Gleason is one of them, which is, you know, going to be interesting how they handle that. Phaneuf, we know, is, you know, 7 years starting at $7 million. But, again, you got Bernier. So there's some good things, Gord. But, again, how do you get guys when you're so close to the cap? How can you improve your team? And is there anybody in the Marlies organization that could step in and be a true 15-, 16-minute guy with impact for the third line? And maybe a 12-minute guy for the fourth line. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll talk about some of the Marty call-ups as well. We'll focus on that game. But Eddie Olchuk now joining us. Talk about around the NHL. Been a busy guy just finishing the Flyers over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Boy, Eddie, as always, great to have you. But that was a game you just did on NBC. That had a lot of playoff. Oh, I thought he was there. Okay. That was a game that had a lot of playoff bite between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. Because he needs a couple more minutes. I thought we had him. Okay.
It does, because if you look at Philly, they don't really want to play the Rangers. I believe Columbus can still move into that spot third in the Metropolitan Division. if I'm correct, Gordon, they could end up playing Pittsburgh, and where Philly really likes to play Pittsburgh, and we know why. Look what, you know, the last couple of years, the rivalry that they certainly
have. Well, they threw him off the game. That was one of the all-time great line brawls that even Sidney Crosby with Sylvain Couturier and others.
And then, you know, Giroux, you know, stated that Crosby broke his thumb or broke his wrist or whatever it was, his hand, you know, in that series as well. So there's a lot of animosity there, and we saw some of it that might carry over in the playoffs.
Well, and again, Peter Holland and Petty Grenberg are the two guys called up. So we'll talk about that. We mentioned Toronto Marlies, two guys called up to the Ottawa Senators. We do have Eddie Olchuk. And Eddie, oh, sorry, I introduced you earlier. It was magnificent. You didn't get to hear it. But
no,
I just,
it wasn't.
I just mentioned that, boy, we're talking about really a nothing game here, Leafs and Ottawa. That game had some playoff bite for the Penguins and Philadelphia Flyers that you just finished.
Yeah, well, first off, good to be with you guys, Gordon, Matt. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting game. I mean, the Flyers won, I think, almost 18 minutes without a shot on goal, and those two shots ended up being the two goals by Jake Voracek in that stretch. So, you know, the Penguins had their, you know, they were, you know, they had their way with the Flyers for a long stretch here, and Steve Mason played really, really well. And then, you know, he had a major collision where Jason Megna, one of the young players for the Penguins, knocked in Andrew McDonald into Mason, and like almost like a whiplash effect, he finished the second period but did not come out for the third. And you know, Emery played well, but gave up a soft goal to James Neal. And next thing you know, you're in overtime, and then a bad goal given up by Marc-Andre Fleury. So the intensity was certainly there, but you wouldn't expect anything less when it's Flyers and Penguins.
Well, that's what I said. Is there still, and I'm not sure with the Flyers win there, is there an opportunity for Columbus to move up? It doesn't look like it now, but there was as of last night. So,
well, yeah, they can finish seventh now. You know, once the Flyers got that 2 points today, that solidified solidified the Flyers to finish third and have the matchup with the Rangers moving to the first round of the playoffs.
And that's what we were saying, Eddie. Philly would have liked to not, and I like the Rangers, but Philly would have certainly probably liked to play the Pittsburgh Penguins, as we've seen the heated rivalry.
Well, they've seen the numbers prove that out. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the numbers have proved that out, and I think it's, what, 9 of the last 11 games now the Flyers have been in Pittsburgh. They found a way to win a hockey game, and that is just incredible stuff, and it'll be interesting. You know, Flyers, Rangers, and but as you guys know, playoffs are a much different animal than the regular season. And, you know, matchups and, you know, become much more magnified, and the game is a lot different. So, but the Flyers, you know, considering where they were, I remember talking to you guys back, you know, in late October, early November, and, you know, there was no confidence there. They couldn't score. Claude Giroux had put gone maybe, you know, one goal in 15 or 16 games, whatever it was. And now here he is, I think, top four in the entire league in scoring, and they've turn their season around. They've gotten consistent goaltending, and you know, their defense has been revamped. It's healthy. Mark Streit is playing better. They get Andrew McDonald, and the Flyers can play any way you want. So they're going to be a tough out, you know, for the Rangers in the first round. That's for sure.
Eddie, you've known a lot of scenarios. I mean, Brendan Shanahan's a guy like you in that, being a very high draft pick, a guy who had a successful NHL career and did some other things afterwards. And you also played in Toronto here for a number of years. And talk about this hire in the era of hiring the Joe Sakics and Cam Neelys and Trevor Lindens and, you know, the big names, and what you thought when you first heard the news.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think that certainly when Shanny went to the National Hockey League, there were, you know, there were probably bigger hills to climb for him personally. And, you know, I can speak to that with not having any experience in going in and coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think it's very similar. You know, you talk about a lot of those players coming in, and you know, John Davidson in particular. I mean, no experience at that position. He left the broadcast booth with the great Doc Emmerich and went to St. Louis and became team president, and then he left there, and now he's in Columbus, and the Blue Jackets go to the playoffs, and Trevor Linden going there. You mentioned Cam Neely, Joe Sakic, you know, Kevin Lowe to a certain extent in Edmonton, but the opportunity for Brendan Shanahan to go to Toronto. Certainly the pressure is on, you know, the microscope is going to be there every single day. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is to bring in people and that he can trust and who he can communicate with and has the same mindset and on how to way to build a team both on and off the ice. And it's going to take some time, but, you know, knowing Tim Leiwicki from our days in Los Angeles is, you know, he's an aggressive guy and felt that Shanny's the guy to come in and lead the Maple Leafs to where they want to get to. And, you know, I wasn't surprised at all, because it seems to be the way that a lot of teams have been going here the last little while.
Yeah, Eddie, and I brought it up the other day when we were talking about it, when, the, you know, Shanahan had agreed to come here that years ago, it was maybe after the 05 lock, it was like, let's do it by committee. Look at how Detroit's done it, how well they've been, you know, Devillan, O'Neill, you know, Iserman, you know, guys like that that are around, let's make decisions by committee. So that seemed to be the template that everybody were following, say, up until, you know, nine years of that. And now it seems like this is the figurehead that can, you know, appease the community, but also has some hockey knowledge in regards to, you know, they all had good careers. We're talking Sakic, as Joe, as Gord said, all the Linden, all these guys. But now they're also going to have a little bit of a taste of the, you know, of the hockey ops and, you know, maybe put their imprint on that. That's, as you just noted, that seems to be the way, the new template for organizations and ones, if it, any following Boston or Colorado short term right now, it seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, well, it seems that that's the way that, you know, teams are looking at that. And, you know, in particular with Trevor Linden and Brendan Shanahan, I mean, well, Shanny in particular, I mean, working with the league and being involved with a lot of the CBA, you know, I mean, just being around all the time. I shouldn't say negotiations, but being a part of the National Hockey League, I think Shanny certainly was a was front and center with the NHL Players Association for a long time. Trevor Linden, I think he was the president of the Players Association for a period of time, at least, you know, in a high capacity, being on
a lot
on
of years
for
yeah.
the players. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, these guys have been in those, you know, in that type of setting, but this is a way different, you know, this is a way different setting for these guys. I mean, in charge of hockey operations, and yeah, they have a lot of hockey knowledge, but again, the trust factor, bringing in people that they believe in, help them, guide them. And look, I think the biggest thing, and it's what I took with me when I went to Pittsburgh with no experience of coaching, was I wanted to bring in somebody that was going to tell me what I needed to know, not what I wanted to hear, as one of my assistant coaches. And ended up being Lauren Mollican, who I played for in Chicago, and longtime, you know, junior coach in Western Hockey League, and also, you know, coach in Chicago for a period of time. And you got to be able to have the autonomy and the courage and the confidence to bring in somebody that's going to sit there and say, you know what, no, I don't agree with you. Or you can't have people in there just patting you on the back, telling you how great you are. And if you're going to do that, I don't think you're going to be able to succeed. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see in both of those situations, not only in Toronto, but in Vancouver, of how that is. And certainly, you know, I think that's what you need, is to bring in people that you know, people that you trust, and people that are going to be willing to stand up or text you or email or whatever people do nowadays and say, you know what, I don't agree with that, or I like this guy, I don't like this guy, we should retain the coach, we should retain the GM, you know, we should put this guy, we should buy this guy out. As long as you bring in people that are going to tell you what you need to know, I think it becomes a very healthy situation, and regardless of what market you're in.
Eddie, you still got about 3 or 4 minutes?
I do.
Okay, good. Eddie Olchuk joining Gord Stelic, Rick Natras, because he just finished the broadcast of the Flyers-Penguins game, of course, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're a little more up on the east here in Toronto, obviously. Tell us about the west, where you've seen Phoenix go through almost what the Leafs did, maybe even worse, not making the playoffs, and the St. Louis Blues.
Six in a row.
All of a sudden losing games at the worst time of the year in a lot of ways. How do you handicap playoff-wise, and of course the Blackhawks and their injury woes and that, playoff-wise, the west?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Phoenix thing is very interesting. I mean, very similar to, you know, what's going on in Toronto with, you know, I mean, the goaltending. I mean, Mike Smith got hurt, hasn't been around. Thomas Grace played well for a while, but then all of a sudden they couldn't score. I mean, they just, you know, they couldn't defend, they couldn't score. And then a lot of low-scoring games and just a missed opportunity for the Phoenix Coyotes. I thought that they would find a way because of the goaltending and the coaching of Dave Tippett. But, you know, they're out, and Dallas has found a way to get in. And, you know, you mentioned the St. Louis Blues. And we talked about it, Nat. I remember we talked about it right around the holiday time. You know, for me, the biggest question mark was, did they have the goaltending? And they went out and got Ryan Miller, and that certainly was important. But to me, you know, who's their difference maker offensively? Mm-hmm. That was the one thing. I thought that they would be in the running for Molson or for Vanek or for Camilleri. Now, I don't know if they were or they weren't, but to me, that's the one thing. I mean, they play hard. They play a tough game. You play against the St. Louis Blues in a 7-game series, it's going to feel like 9 games. There's no doubt about it. But I just didn't know, do they have a guy that could be a difference maker? For a long time, Alex Steen was on fire, right? Would he have like 25 goals in 22 games or whatever it was? Tarasenko, the young second-year player for the Blues, I think he has the ability to be able to be a difference maker. But he's been hurt now here the last
broken wrist,
4 or 5 weeks. That's the biggest thing, is the Blues can't score. Don't look at the stats and say, well, they're third overall in the National Hockey League in goals for. But you look at the last 15, 20 games, I mean, they've gone really dry, and that's got to be a major concern And now you add in the injuries to Oshie, to Backes. I saw Sobotka didn't play last night in that game. Tarasenko, I mentioned. You know, so they've got some serious issues. But, you know, you can use it as a rallying cry or rallying point as, hey, you know, all of a sudden now we're the underdogs. I mean, if Colorado controls their own destiny. So it could be a St. Louis-Chicago matchup in the first round in the Central Division. So it is wide open, really. The West is, you know, Anaheim, you know, earned the opportunity to get that, to get that home ice, to bypass that series against one of their California rivals, whether it be San Jose or L.A., because that's another series that's going to feel like nine games between the Sharks and the Kings.
Yeah, and let's talk about Chicago now. Some key injuries to Kane, Taves. They've been out one, for a month plus, and then the other one for pretty much going on, about 3 weeks now, Eddie, and Jonathan Taves. So 500 hockey the last little while, lost a game to Washington, probably, had a couple guys not in the lineup, Keith, last night, and, some of those, that kind of things. But really, the game was pretty sloppy, and I know Quinville certainly stated that he just hopes that we, tighten it up a little bit better and get ourselves in a position. We've talked about Chicago, Eddie, about the roller coaster, this year, or certainly the second half of the year, in my eyes. And really, the consistency factor has been an issue for me. Where does it sit for you?
Well, I mean, I would say it's a concern, but they've been there and done that. And when healthy, I think there's something for being the defending Stanley Cup champions and having won two cups in 4 years. I think there's something for that. They have a style. They have a real strong defensive core. They have difference makers, Kane, Taves, Hossa, Sharp. You know, you can go on and on. So, I mean, that's what separates them from a lot of teams in this league. And you're right. It's finding that that consistency, and not having Taves and Kane in a lineup the last couple of weeks maybe has been a benefit. It's opened up the opportunity for some other players to step in and do the job. I mean, whether it's Jeremy Morin or Ben Smith getting more ice time, those guys have done the job. And the Blackhawks are a team that have been there and have a lot of confidence and know that if they play their way and they play a puck possession type of game, is that they're going to be in every single game. And I would expect that would be the mindset for the Blackhawks on moving into the first round of the playoffs.
Well, we're going to hone in on our game for a bit. Yep. I know we'll be talking to you throughout the playoffs, but I guess my last question, Eddie, every season, can you believe it, how close these races are?
That's why he sits on the other side of the table.
I thought I told you to hit the leash, Gord. You can't remember. You can call and ask me that on Monday, and then we'll have a good chuckle.
And then we'll wait till the end of the playoffs to ask you who you think's going to win the Stanley Cup. But okay,
we can wait maybe 4 or 5 days. I don't have to wait till the very end. Wait 4 or 5 days.
Okay, we'll try and do it next Saturday. Eddie, thanks as always.
Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
Take care, buddy.
Eddie Olchuk joining us from NBC, just finished doing the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game and, of course, with the Chicago Blackhawks crew. Got about a minute-ish here, Rick, and we'll be back.
Well, good luck with that.
Blue Jay baseball coming up, but we'll also be back on the airwaves after Rick and I will later on with Leafs Nation postgame after the Ottawa Senators-Toronto Maple Leafs game tonight. And we will talk about in a unusual game number 82, unfortunately, but still three keys for the game. And you've played in games where a team's not in the playoffs, and it's still important that you go out and give some kind of effort. So what do you look as far as?
Well, again, don't get outworked. And we've seen for a certain degree that they have been, certainly in the last couple games anyways, the Florida games, the Winnipeg. So I would say their last three games, I would say the other team held the edge, if not, at the beginning. But overall, the Leafs came back in a couple with some effort, not with goals or wins, but unfortunately, that's something they have to work on, is don't get outworked, because now you've got the real big boss now that has a fresh look that can make a decision on one game, and don't make this be the game, right? We're talking Shanahan. Get it over with quick so we can go home, Gordon. The last one, help out whoever the goalie is, because they certainly did that with McIntyre. I thought that was a little disappointing.
Well, and Randy Carlyle mentioned that as well. Geez, for a guy's first NHL game. And you go out and play that kind of effort. Well, we talked to Don Brennan a bit earlier about it, and he says the same thing on the Ottawa side. We'll see. Game number 82, two teams playing for some pride, you would hope. We'll be back afterwards to talk about the game, also to talk about the season that was and the era of Brendan Shanahan. Blue Jays pregame show is coming up next. Some Jays baseball. And don't forget, Rick and I will be back after the Leaf game. You've been listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.